利比书四章六节，应当一无挂虑，只有凡事借着祷告、祈求和感谢，将你们所要的告诉神。现在让我们安静我们的心，谦卑地来到主耶稣的脚前。
向你牵手，毫无保留，我敬拜你。
At this moment, I'd like to ask you guys to just close your eyes for a moment. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about me. Don't think about the people sitting beside you. Right now, there's only you and God.Pray to him. Tell him all about your worries. Luke 弟兄会上来分享信息，神呼召了 Luke 弟兄一家去中国，那里做他的工作，神也赐给他们勇气和每天所需要的力量。愿这下一首歌成为我们的勉励，像他们一样顺服神的旨意，虽然可能是很不容易的工作，但是我们要 勇敢走出去。Family worship today. We don't have girls doing hand motions, but I would like to ask some boys. So if I can get Chin Chin, Aiden, and Daniel to come up and help us clap. And please clap along with them, okay? Come on, hurry! Stop. Come on.
I'm gonna make it. Good job.
Okay, let's greet one another and say, Jesus loves you.
Glory to God.
shine through this land when the Father's glory brings the praise. Set our hearts on high. Glory the Lord, the nation, His grace and mercy stand for Your own. Blood and life will be
seated. Praise God for the ability to worship Him. And thank you to our worship team. As the nature of our church, you know, people come and go quite often here.
如果你在我们教会待得比较久的话, 你就知道我们教会的人来得多, 走得也多。
And some of you may not know that back in 2006, that's 9 years ago,
很多人可能也不知道, 9年前,
Our church became one of the supporting churches for a missionary family.
2006年的时候, 我们教会就成为了其中一个宣教士的支持教会之一。
And they are here with us this morning, or still this morning.
我们支持的这个宣教士今天就在我们当中。
And that's Luke and Birgit.
就是Luke和Birgit夫妇。
They have two of their four lovely daughters with us today.
他们四个女儿也在我们当中。
两个, 四个当中的两个。 And so we have Melon and Jasmine, right?
Okay. 我们有Jasmine和Melon。
I think Annika is in Albany.
有一个女儿在Albany。
And Abrielle is in Netherlands somewhere.
另外一个在荷兰。
So that they are in that precious period called teenage, young adulthood.
四个女儿都在一个阶段，这个阶段就叫做是。
Yeah, so praise God, they are here today to bless us.
我们赞美神，因为今天Luke和Birgit来到我们当中， 因为他要给我们带来很大的福分。
And also, as Carolyn had indicated, we also hope that we can be of some blessing to them and encouragement to them.
也像刚刚进来小组Carolyn说的那样， 希望我们教会也能够给他们带来福分。
So I'm going to have Birgit come up to share a little bit first, and then Luke will come up to give us
我们会先有Birgit来到我们当中分享。 然后他的先生 Luke 也会接着会分享。
Good morning,
大家早。
First of all, I would like to thank God for His faithfulness and also you for being faithful in making it possible for us to have been in China for 9 years.
首先我要感谢神，而且我也要感谢大家，让我们在中国九年都可以进行我们的事工。
Because even though it's our family that went, it is your faithful giving and prayer that is keeping us there and is making us effective while over there.
尽管是我们家人被派到中国去，但是更重要的是大家衷心的奉献，让我们可以在中国得以延续我们的事工。
Okay, next slide, please. These are our four daughters.
第四个就是我们的孩子。
From left to right, Jasmine, who is 14.
从左边开始算，左边这个Jasmine是14岁。
Then Abriel, who is 19.
第二个女儿Abriel是19岁。
Then Annika just turned 18.
蓝色衣服的Annika刚刚13岁。
And Malin is almost 15.
右边的Malin就是15岁。
Next. Even though we live in the big city of Kunming with 7 million people,
尽管我们住在昆明一个这么大的城市，里面有700万的人口。
Luke's main work is close to the Burmese border, about 12 hours by car away at a drug rehab farm.
但是我先生路，他施工的地方其实是在缅甸和云南的边境，开车大概是要12个小时。他工作的地方是一个农场，是专门帮助那些有毒瘾的人戒毒的农场。
This location used to be an alcohol distillery.
这个地方以前是一个炼酒厂。
And over the last few years, we've been able to remodel. Next.
但是过去几年，我们也能够在其中有一些新的维修和改造，让它成为了一个疗养的地方。
Here are the buildings.
这就是我们建起来的一些设施。
One of the things Luke likes to do is to have bonfires, campfires at night.
我先生最喜欢做的其中一件事情就是在晚上的时候生个篝火，开个篝火晚会。
And over the years, we have realized that even though this farm is financially supported, over the long run, it needs to be self-sufficient.
虽然在过去的几年，我们都知道这整个农场的开支有很多有爱心的教会的弟兄姐妹来支持，但是我们自己也知道自给自足的重要性。
So we have increased the farming aspects and livestock like cows, pigs, and chickens.
所以除了在平时的农作耕种的以外，我们还加入了牲口，比如说会我们有鸡、有牛、有羊。The
remodeling over the last few years has enabled us now to have a floor where there used to be dirt, and also to fix a leaking roof and to have hot water.
在过去几年的时候，我们进行对我们的设施进行了很多的改造。我们现在可以有热水，而且屋顶也不再漏雨。我们还把地板铺上了，所以这整个看起来完整了很多。
We also have an office in Kunming associated with this farm where we can provide AIDS and HIV training.
而且我们在昆明有我们的办公室，在这个办公室里面我们会有很多预防艾滋系列的训练。
AIDS, HIV and drug use are some of the biggest problems in Yunnan.
在云南最明显的几个社会问题之一，一个是艾滋病，一个是毒品的滥用。
The biggest change in the 9 years we have been away is that 2 years ago, I started teaching at the International Christian School in Kunming.
我在2年前的时候，我开始在昆明那个国际学校教英文。
And I teach journalism and English for language learners.
我教英语语言学习以及教新闻。
We have a staff of about 70 and about 300 students.
我们那个学校有70个老师，300个学生。
That's me teaching English to a little girl from Hong Kong.
我在这篇图片里面，这个女孩子是来自香港的，我在教她学英文。
Our oldest daughter is at Wheaton College.
这是我们的大女儿。
This summer she is spending a summer in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, in an outreach ministry.
他今年夏天他在荷兰阿姆斯特丹这个城市，他现在正在进行一个宣教的项目。That's
all of us last Christmas. We don't get to see each other as a family very often.
我们其实这整个家庭要聚在一起是不容易的事情，我们一年也就算见这么几次。这张照片是我们去年圣诞节的时候全家拍的。This
May, our second daughter Annika graduated from high school.
今年五月，我们的二女儿从高中毕业。
And she is in the process of applying to Operation Mobilization to join their ship, Logos Hope, for 1 year, traveling around the world sharing the gospel.
她现在正在进行一个申请的过程，因为她想要进入到一个这一艘宣教的船上面。这艘船的目的就是带上年轻人去到世界不同的角落去宣讲主的福音。她想成为这艘船上面的船员的一份子。
Thank you very much for praying for us.
感谢大家对我们一直以来的祷告的支持。Good morning.
大家早。
It's really wonderful to be worshiping with you together.
能跟大家一起在早上的时候进行敬拜是非常好的事情。
The psalm that we read together was one of the earliest psalms that I memorized many years ago.
其实今天早上我们读的诗篇那个诗篇89篇，是我很早之前我就背下来的几首诗篇之一。
It's one of those psalms that really literally shaped my heart many years ago.
也是在多年前，这首诗歌在我的心里面
And some of the songs we sang also a great encouragement to me. It reminded our early years at our home church, and some of the worship in the same way really shaped our spiritual life.
这让我想起了很多年前我们去的以前的教会，我们的母会，因为我们这些所有的经历加在一起，也为我们的信仰生活带来了很大的影响。
It's also so wonderful to see some old friends.
而且在大家当中，我有看到很多的老朋友。
Dan and Jen.
比如说Dan和Jen。
We used to kind of 25 years ago and attending Multnomah Bible College, and we were neighbors.
25年前我们参加了Noma Bible学院上学的时候，我们当时是邻居。
And Nancy, of course, been friends for almost 20 years.
然后Nancy，我们跟她当朋友也当了二十多年。
Just really wonderful to be here with you.
所以能够看到这么多老的面孔，也是很让人开心的事情。
I want to, by way, starting to ask a question.
我今天讲到之前，我想先问大家一个问题。
How many of you are first generation American?
有在座的有多少人是第一代的来美国的移民？
First generation immigrants.
第一代的移民有多少人？
That means if you weren't born here, you should raise your hands.
就意思就是说，如果你不是在这里出生的话，你都应该举起你们的手了。
It doesn't really matter where you came from, right?
其实你来自哪里并不重要。
For me, Hong Kong.
对于我来说，我来自的地方是香港。
Some of you China, some of you other places.
可能在座的一些是来自中国，其他的可能是来自不同的地方的。
But I imagine that sometimes you do miss home, right?
但是我想，我们可能多多少少都会有时候会想家。
I often tell people that having lived in China for 9 years and having lived in the U.S. for many years, there are many things I miss about the U.S.
我就跟人家说，我说我在中国待了9年，但是我在美国待了更长的时间，我更挂念美国有的时候。Well,
I missed mowing the lawn.
我很想念的事情，其中之一呢，就是能够在我们家面前去除草。Wow,
the fresh grass smell is really something.
如果你除草的话，你就知道你去割草的时候，你割草的时候有那个很新鲜的草的香味，那个香味是很难忘的。I
know you don't miss that.
我知道有一些人其实是一点都不喜欢这个味道的。
I miss driving in the open freeway hours and hours.
我也很想念在美国的时候，你开到高速公路上面，你可以一直开，一直开几个小时不用停。
And we started driving in China, let me tell you, it's very different.
我告诉你，我在中国的时候，那开车的经历整个就是完全不一样的。
I miss barbecue.
我也很想念在美国烧烤。
Root beer float.
我也很想念美国的那个沙士那个汽水的味道。
And recently we started shopping at Goodwill, and it's really fun.
而且我们最近又迷上了在 Goodwill 那个地方 shopping, 买二手的东西。
So, it's not a hint, okay? You don't have to invite us.
我并不是在说你一定要请我们去你们家。
But we came back early June, and we spent our first week in Idaho, Montana with friends.
我们六月份的时候其实就来美国了。我们第一个礼拜是在爱达荷州和蒙大拿州两个州跟朋友在一起。So,
driving back to Portland and getting near the Columbia Gorge.
所以在我们从蒙大拿爱达荷那个地方一直开车开到了哥伦比亚河湾的那块。And
all the greenery and everything is just so beautiful.
你就会发现从一个完全黄色的地区进入了一个完全绿色的地区，你看到在Oregon这么多绿叶绿草，你就会觉得说整个太美丽了。And
then coming into Portland where we stay and then getting close to the Hawthorne area. It's a street, Hawthorne Street.
后来我们就开车去到了波特兰这个城市，我们待的地方，然后我们去到了一条街，那条街叫Hawthorne.
And, you know, it's a wonderful sense of kind of going home, but we also notice many other things.
对于我们来说，这感觉就像回家的感觉一样，但是我们也发现了这其中有很多的变化。
I have noticed that there are a lot of homeless people in Portland.
我发现在Hawthorne那个区那块有很多流浪者。
In the freeway exit off ramp, on the street, and even outside of Safeway.
在你下高速的那个出口，比如说你在十字路口的那个红绿灯那个地方，甚至说你在超市外面，你都看到有流浪汉拿这个牌子。
And no wonder in Portland they say that let's keep Portland weird. That really attracts a lot of that kind of people.
在波特兰这个城市，他们有一个城市的标语，那个标语的意思就是说，让我们保让波特兰保持奇奇怪怪的原汁原味。有的时候我就觉得像是这样的标语，就让很多这样的人来到了波特兰。
The first morning I woke up very early. It's kind of like my habit.
我刚来到美国的第一个早上，我起得很早。其实早起也是我的一个习惯。
I didn't want to disturb my family, so I walk out the door into the front porch and had some quiet time.
我不想吵到我家人，所以我一起来之后，我就去到了我们家前院，就自己在那里灵修。
And again, I noticed several homeless people walk by my house. That's the place I stayed.
我就看见在我住的那个地方前面那条街道，好多的流浪汉都走过了。
And all of a sudden, really an intriguing thought came to my mind. What does it mean to be homeless?
然后我脑海里面就浮出了一个想法，就是说。成为一个无家可归的人的感觉是什么样的？
Does that mean a homeless person? Does that mean he simply doesn't have a home to go to?
无家可归的意思难道就是说他没有一个家让他可以回去吗？
Does it mean even more than that?
还是说他其中还有更深远的意义？
You know, the more I thought about it, really one fundamental thought came to my mind.
就在我想着想着的时候，我突然间意识到一个问题。
Homelessness really means that you don't belong.
Home, 无家可归的意思就是说你没有任何的归属感。其实
，in that sense of the word, I am homeless.
所以，如果你从字面上的意思来说的话，其实 Look 当时他在波特兰待，他待的并不是自己的家，所以你可以说他是无家可归的。
I grew up in Hong Kong. I spent my first 18 years in Hong Kong.
我在香港出生，然后我也在香港，头十八年都在香港。
And then lived in Oregon for 25 years.
然后来到了 Oregon， 我们这个州活了25年。
And then now China for 9.
然后我又在中国待了9年。
Now, do I call Portland home? Yes or no? And no.
难道我就把波特兰称为是我自己的家吗？
And
可以说是，也可以说是不是。
In the same way, Hong Kong is the same. China is the same. Yes and no.
所以香港国内对我来说也是同样的概念。说家吧也算是家，说不是家吧也不是家。
So that in that sense, that not belonging is the classic meaning of homelessness.
所以那个很经典的定义，对于无家可归这个定义，应该说是你觉得你自己没有任何一个归属感，那才是真正的无家可归。
Many years ago, or 9-10 years ago, when we heard God's calling us to China, and we obeyed and we went.
大概是九年前、十年前的时候，我们听到了神对我们的呼召，叫我们去中国，所以我们就去了。
And we moved to China, to Yunnan, to Kunming.
我们就从我们这个州，从美国搬到了云南的昆明。
And when you look at geography, Yunnan is a fairly remote area in China.
如果你去看中国的地图的话，你会发现云南这个省份其实是一个蛮偏的地方。
And at the time, we sold our house and quit my job and sold everything and just embarked on this journey.
我们当时去中国的时候，我们是把房子卖了，把我们的工作给辞了，可以说是什么东西在美国都全部清空了，然后我们去了中国。
Not realizing that one day we kind of found ourselves homeless.
我们也没有想过这个结果，就是有一天我们会意识到我们自己其实是无家可归的。
As I was meditating, thinking about this thought, one really scary thought came upon me.
就在我还在思考这个问题的时候，有一个想法让我觉得吃惊，让我觉得害怕。
What have I done to my family? What have I done to my daughters?
我就在想说，我这个决定给我的家庭，给我的孩子们带来多大的影响。
You know, I saw that 2 years ago when we said goodbye to our oldest daughter, Abriel, in Chicago.
我还想起来我两年前我们跟我们的大女儿在芝加哥跟她说再见的时候。
And I saw the same thing in my second daughter's eyes this time.
然后我这次在我的二女儿眼中也看到了同样的眼神。
The sense of fear, the sense of not belonging.
因为在他们的眼神当中，我看到了那种没有归属感的恐惧。
And then I realized that I have made them homeless.
然后我就意识到, 其实我的决定让我的, 让我的孩子们觉得他们并没有一个归属感。
That morning I started crying.
所以就在那个早上, 我也开始了哭, 我也开始哭了。
I said to God, what have you done to me? What have I done to my family?
我就跟神说, 我说, 神啊, 你看你在我的生命中做出了一个什么样的决定, 你看我也给我的家庭带来什么样的影响。
Yes, I was willing at the time to give up my Alaska dream.
的确, 我当时决定去中国的时候, 我同时也废弃掉了我想去阿拉斯加的梦想。
And the driving, the barbecue, and all the things.
我也放弃了我在美国日思夜想的烧烤, 我的啤酒, 我的高速公路经历。
Okay, I don't drink beer too much. Root beer float. And now, today, I and my family, especially two daughters, we are kind of experiencing a kind of homelessness.
但是今天我的两个女儿和我来说, 我们的思维里面, 我们就经历了一个无家可归的这么一个概念。
That morning, I talked to my daughter. I tried to just talk to her a little bit about what I came to my heart. And when she heard me, she started crying too.
然后那天早上我就跟我两个女儿，我跟她们说我当天早上我所有的想法。然后我女儿听到我这么跟她们说的时候，我的女儿也开始哭了。It
is a acknowledgement that she too experienced that homelessness.
其实看见她哭，我就知道，其实她心里面的想法跟我很像，她也自己心里面有那种没有归属感的感觉。But
that morning, as I was thinking this thought and even crying, the Lord also spoke to my heart.
就在我那天早上，我自己觉得有点伤心，我难过，我哭的时候，神也同时跟我说话了。
And he said to me, Luke, you may be homeless, but you're not rootless.
神就跟我说, Luke, 或许你是无家可归的，但是你并不是没有根的。
I'm so thankful that that may be homeless, but we are so loved by so many people.
我很感激这一件事情，就是虽然我们是无家可归的，但是我们在我们身边人给了我们很多的爱。
So many people loved us and prayed for us and supported us over the years.
有这么多人那么多年来都一直支持我们，为我们祷告，爱我们。
And our second, third day in Portland, we had a graduation and birthday party for Annika, and 70, 80 people showed up.
我们后来我们在波特兰的时候，第三天，我们给我们另外一个女儿办了一个生日的派对，居然有七十八十个人来到她的派对了。
Really, an overwhelming demonstration that we have root in Portland.
这是一个多么大的表达，就是告诉我们，我们在波特兰，我们是有根的。We
are loved, therefore we belong.
我们正是因为有这么多人爱我们，所以我们也有这样一个归属在这里。
If we look at scripture, we also find that this kind of experience is not really unique.
如果你去看经文的话, 你会发现这种感觉, 这种偶尔无家可归的感觉并不是说只有仅仅一例两例。
The first, I think, the famous Bible person that have this sense of homelessness is Abraham.
我想在圣经里面第一个有这种想法的人就是亚伯拉罕。
When Abraham was called by God to, it says, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the place I will show you.
在创世纪里面，耶和华对亚伯兰说, 你要离开本家、本族、父家, 王我所要指示你的地区。
You know, when Abraham obeyed and said yes to that call, he became a person without country.
亚伯兰当时他做这个决定说好的我去的时候，他就变成了一个没有国家的人了。To
leave your country.
因为他要离开自己的国家。
In our kind of contemporary language, it would be you don't have a passport.
如果我用现在的语言跟你翻译一下，那个意思就是说你今天就是一个没有护照的人了。If
you don't have a passport, where can you go?
如果你没有护照的话，你能去哪里呢？
If you don't have an American passport, who are you?
如果你没有美国护照的话，你是个什么身份呢？
Can you call yourself Canadian?
你可以说你自己是加拿大人吗？
Maybe someone can, Sarah.
可能Sarah自己可以说，因为她有加拿大国籍。
Mexican?
你可以说你自己是墨西哥人吗？
Especially, I mean, if you if you are born and grow up in a country, then without a passport country, it would be really, really hard to even begin to imagine.
如果你是出生而且成长在这个国家的话，没有一个护照，你作为一个没有护照的民众的话，你去哪里都很不方便。That
is exactly what happened to Abraham. The moment he obeyed God, he became a person without country, without passport.
这就是发生在亚伯拉罕的身上的事情。当他决定说答应神去离开父家的时候，他就变成一个没有国家、没有护照的人。
Second, God told Abraham to leave his relatives behind.
第二个就是耶和华也跟亚伯兰说，叫他离开他的家人。Again,
what does it really mean?
这到底是什么意思呢？离开自己的亲戚。
If you for Americans, we very cherish our way of life, our independence.
对于我们在美国长大的人来说，我们很希望我们能够保持我们自己那种独立性。
We love our cars, our house, our career, our rights, and everything.
我们喜欢我们的车子、我们的房子、我们的职业。But
in biblical time, that kind of concept and mindset is totally foreign to them.
但是在圣经的这个年代的时候，这种对你车子、房子的喜爱，那根本来说当时是不可能的。They
live in a very tight community where everybody is part of that tribe or clan.
他们当时那个社会的风气就是大家住得很近，然后大家都每一个帐篷也离得很近，基本上都属于那个小部落里面的一分子。Everyone
at the time belongs to a tribe or a clan.
每个人当时都是有一个族裔或者说是有一个部落是归属的。The
very sense of their identity, their safety, and even their rights derived from that community, that tribe.
他们的权利和他们的身份，他们的自我意识，都是从那种对部落、对族裔的归属而产生出来的。If
you are a person without a clan or tribe, if you are not part of that, then you have no right, no protection, no safety whatsoever.
如果你不属于一个族裔，你不属于一个部落的话，当时你可以说是你没有人生的安全，你没有人生的权利，你也没有是归属感的。You
don't belong and you become an outcast.
你不属于任何一个族裔，任何一个部落，那么你就会变成一个流浪者。If
you read Abraham's journey, you have noticed that every place that he went to, he felt unsafe, he felt threatened, he was had no right whatsoever.
如果你看亚伯兰他整一个的旅程的话，你会发现他整个过程他其实都是比较恐惧的，他很害怕，而且他觉得自己是被恐吓的。That
is because he became a person without a communal identity.
因为他成为了一个没有身份的这么一个人。Now,
first God told Abraham to leave his country.
首先神对亚伯兰说你要离开本地。
So he became a person without a passport.
所以他就是没有护照的一个人。And
then leave his relatives.
要离开他的本族。Then
he is without community.
所以他是没有了社群的保护。And
finally, God told Abraham to leave his father's house.
最后神也对他说你要离开父家。What
does it mean?
离开父家的意思是什么呢?
You know, when in the Bible we hear that many people are described as the son of so-and-so and so.
如果你看圣经的话，你会发现里面族谱的记载都是谁谁谁家的儿子，谁谁谁家的儿子。
In Luke chapter 3, and in tracing Jesus' genealogy, it says he is the son of Joseph.
如果你去看路加福音里面讲到耶稣的家谱的时候，里面说他是约瑟的儿子。
Son of Eli, son of Matthew, son of Levi, and all the way son of Enoch, son of Adam, son of God.
他就一直往前推，往前推，就去到了说是神，亚伯兰的孩子，神的孩子。
And by tracing Jesus' genealogy, his identity all the way go back to being the son of God.
如果你从耶稣的族谱去看的话，一直往前推，你会看到他的那个父家可以说是神家的儿子。
When God told Abraham to leave his father's house,
当耶和华跟亚伯兰说你要离开你现在的地方,
it is the most painful and final blow to his identity, his personal identity.
可以说对亚伯兰来说是一个很大的打击, 就完全把他自己整个人的归属感给打掉了。
So God first stripped him of his national identity, and then his communal identity, and finally his personal identity.
神把他国家性的身份给去除了，把他族裔性的身份去除了，最后把他个人性的身份给去掉了。
And by obeying God's voice, Abraham became countryless, homeless, and nameless.
所以说，最后亚伯兰决定去到其他地方的时候，他可以说是没有了国家的归属感，没有了族裔的归属感，同时他也没有属名上面也没有了自己的名字。
So in commenting on this experience, Hebrews chapter 11 puts it this way.
但希伯来书就是这么样给了一个回应的。
By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God.
亚伯拉罕因着信蒙召的时候就遵命出去，往将来要得为业的地方去。出去的时候还不知往哪里去。他因着信就在所应许之地做客，好像在异地居住帐篷，与那同盟一个应许的以撒雅各一样，因为他等候那座有根基的城，就是神所经营所建造的。嗯，you
need to notice the wordings here.
你需要很仔细的看这里的字句。
Going out, not knowing, alien, foreign land, dwelling in tents.
在这里面他说的，出去的时候还不知往哪里去，而且也好像是在异地居住帐篷一样。All
this point to this very temporal and transitory nature of his journey.
这就指出了他当时那个旅程是一个可以像是过客一样的旅程。And
ultimately, this is homelessness.
所以如果你要对比的话，这完完全就是像今天的流浪汉一样。
But in the case of Abraham, he had a promise from God.
但是在亚伯兰的那个例子里面呢，他是有来自神的应许的。
That promise, that very promise that he will become a great nation, great name, it will be a blessing to many, many.
这个应许就是他会成为大国，他会赐福给人，他的名成为大，也会叫别人得福。
That promise kept him going.
正是这样的应许让他可以一直的前进。
And brothers and sisters, God is calling us in the same way He called Abraham.
弟兄姐妹们，今天神给我们每一个人的呼召，也像是神给亚伯兰的呼召一样。We
must obey. We must go. We must trust Him.
我们要顺服他，我们也要真的是要往外走。I
wonder sometimes in all those years of wandering, especially living in a tent, and if Abraham would ever say something like that.
我经常就在想，像亚伯兰那时候住帐篷的那些日子里面，他有没有想过这么一个想法？
God, what have you done to me? What have I done to my family?
他有没有想过说，神啊，你在我的生命里做了什么样的事情？我给我的家里也带来什么样的影响？
But by obeying and trusting God, he became a great blessing to many, including all of us.
但是正因为他当时
2,000 years later, an ordinary man became a carpenter and he hung out with fishermen.
2,000年后有一个木匠，他跟渔人为友。
And because he hung out with certain people, he hung out with fishermen, he became smelly at times.
他经常跟渔民在一起，所以他身上的味道也不好闻。
And he hung out with sinners and tax collector, and people call him a glutton.
他跟罪人在一起，他跟税吏在一起。
He too obeyed the voice of his father, and that very moment he became homeless.
而且他遵守他父神给他的指导，也就在那一刹那，他也变成了一个无家可归的人。
Matthew chapter 8 puts it this way: the foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
在马太福音里面大概是说到狐狸有锅有窝 飞鸟有窝, 但是人子却要枕在没有枕头的地上。
So for 3 years, the Lord Jesus traveled from place to place, from village to village, from city to city.
所以整整三年，你可以看到耶稣是从不同的城市之间来，从这个城市到那个城市，从这个村落到那个村落。
I wonder how many beds he slept on in those 3 years.
我在想说，他那三年他到底躺在了多少张不同的床上？
How many nights he just slept in the tent?
有多少的夜晚他其实就直接就睡在帐篷里面的？
How many times he just slept in the open on the grass?
有多少的时候他其实就直接是在草地上面席地而睡？
I wonder when he was just laying his head on the grass, communing with his father, if his father would ever said that something like that.
我也在想说，在他那三年流浪的这样子的时候，他的父亲有没有说过像我当时想的那些话？
What have I done to my son?
他有没有想过说，我给我儿子带来什么样的生活？
I made him homeless.
我让我孩子有了像一个流浪者一样的生活。
But in the case of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, he chose to obey his Father.
但是我们的人子选择了遵守他父的道。
He chose to be homeless.
他选择了过这么一个流浪的生活。
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
他的话语就道成了肉身住在我们当中。
For what?
这么做是为什么呢？
To bring us home.
是因为他要把我们带回家。
You know, in reality, all of us are homeless.
如果在现实来看的话，我们每个人可以说都是无家可归的。
Because of sin, it separated us from our father, from our friends, from each other.
因为我们的罪性，我们和神有隔绝，我们人与人之间也有隔绝。
How can you bring a homeless man home?
你怎么样可以带一个无家可归的人回家呢？
It's a wandering heart and a wayward soul.
你怎么样带着一个流浪的灵魂回家呢？
How can you even begin to identify with a homeless man?
你怎么样才能找到谁是无家可归的人呢？
You cannot.
你找不到。
Unless you are one of them.
除非你是其中的一员。
This is why the Lord Jesus had to come.
这就是为什么耶稣要来到我们当中。
To live as one of us.
以人的形象在我们当中跟我们居住。
To experience everything that we have to experience.
来体验我们的生活每一个方面。
His birth, growing pain, hunger, sadness, joy, temptation.
去经历诱惑，去经历悲伤，去经历困苦，跟我们一样有所有人类的体验。
This is what Hebrews chapter 2 describes him.
希伯来书二章是这么说的。
Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. For he himself was tempted in that which he was suffered. He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted.
Chapter 2,
toward the end.
Of 28. Chapter 2, right? Yeah, so he, 他凡事该与他的弟兄相同，为要在神的事上成为慈悲忠信的大祭司，为百姓的罪献上挽回祭。他自己既然被试探而受苦，就能搭救被试探的人。And
because of his full identification with us, he is truly the Son of God, Son of Man.
正是因为他的身份，他的自我意识跟我们是一样的，所以他不仅是神子，更是我们人，更是人子。
That's why he has every right, every reason to say to a homeless man, to us,
这就是为什么他有权利，有知识能够跟每一个人说，跟我们每一个人说,
I know you.
可以说我认识你,
I know the way.
我知道我们的真道在哪里,
I can take you home. I have been there, done it.
我能够带你回家, 我曾经这么做过, 我也能够这么做,
because I'm one of you.
因为我就在你们当中。
He knows what it's like to be homeless.
他知道无家可归是一个什么样的感觉。
That's why he can say, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the assembly. We will worship you.
所以他可以说在我们所有的弟兄姐妹当中，我可以这么跟你讲，我们可以一起去敬拜。
I want to tell you a little bit of the history of the farm.
我想要跟大家说说我的那个戒毒农场的一些历史。
When Hudson Taylor, about 150 years ago, started China Inland Mission,
当 Hudson Taylor 100多年前 在中国开始宣教的时候,
and he, within 15, 20 years, it became an organization that have almost 1,000 missionaries in all over China.
他当时的那个组织就开始扩大, 15到20年间已经有1000多个宣教士在里面了。
So he started going to Europe, to America, to share the vision, the great harvest in China.
他就去欧洲来美国，他去跟很多的人说，他说在中国这是一个很大的草场，有很多需要收获的人。
So when he went to Scandinavia, to Norway, Denmark, Sweden,
后来他去到北欧，去到瑞典、挪威、冰岛等等。
Many young Christian men and women in Sweden heard that call and obeyed.
很多在瑞典的年轻人，他们听到这样的呼召，他们决定前往。
And the moment again they obeyed that voice, they became homeless.
就在他们决定顺服的那一刹那，这些瑞典的弟兄姐妹们也可以说是无家可归的。
So the Swedish missionaries at that time were assigned to Yunnan.
就是那些在瑞典顺服了这些呼召的年轻弟兄姐妹们，他们就去了云南。
Many of them live near the drug rehab farm today.
今天他们当中很多人还住在我们那个疗养农场的附近。戒毒农场。哦，戒毒农场的附近。
So there they live, they serve, they learn the language, they ate their food.
在那里，他们与所有毒瘾的人一起同住，他们学习那里的语言，去跟他们吃一样的食物。
So I'm talking about almost 80, 90 years ago now.
我说的是80年前、90年前的事情。
So I remember one time this Swedish old man in his 80s coming to Yunnan to visit.
我记得之前有一个80岁左右的瑞典的老先生来到了这个农场，来到我们农场。
His parents were missionaries in that area.
他的父母就是那80、90年前来的宣教士之一。
When he was about 10 teenager, because of Japanese invasion, the whole family was riding on horseback and riding for 2 weeks and escaped to Burma.
他们当时发生抗日战争的时候，因为当时的战争很乱，他们全家就是骑着马骑了2个多星期跑到缅甸那边去逃难的。
And there's another Swedish lady, her name is Ruth.
我们这里还有一个叫 Ruth的瑞典的姐妹。
She also grew up in this area, just maybe 10, 20 miles where the drug rehab farm is today.
这个Ruth姐妹她也是在当年的时候也是在我们这个戒毒农场附近长大的。
Again, when the Japanese invaded, the whole family was put in internment camp.
当所有日本人来打仗的时候，他们甚至这整个家里都被放到了俘虏营里面。
50, 60 years later, Ruth returned to Yunnan, to that place where she grew up.
50-60年之后, Ruth回到了云南的我们的戒毒农场,
and,
她回到了她成长的地方,
and found the village where she was once brought up.
她也找到了她长大的那个村庄。
As she got in close to the village, a whole bunch of a crowd came out to see her.
当她快要去到那个村子的时候，村民都跑出来去迎接她。
There was an old lady came up to Ruth and said to her,
然后有一个老太太还专门跑到Ruth面前跟她说,
and said to her, Ruth, Ruth, I know you will come back someday.
她很激动，她就跟Ruth她说, Ruth, Ruth, 我知道你有一天一定会回到我们当中的。
And Ruth looked at her and said, Who are you?
然后Ruth她就看着这个老太太，她就问她, 请问你是哪一位?
I don't remember you.
我不记得了。
And this lady said, I used to babysit you, don't you remember?
然后这个老太太就跟她说，你记得吗？是我从小把你带大的。
And Ruth said, I don't think that is possible.
然后她就觉得说，她就说，我觉得这也不可能啊。
But then this old lady started singing Swedish hymn.
然后这个老太太就开始跟她唱瑞典的民谣，瑞典的赞美诗。
The very song taught by her father to those village people.
这首赞美诗就是Ruth的爸爸妈妈当年当宣教士的时候给整个村子教的第一首歌。
I can tell you that today, this drug rehab farm that I'm involved, almost all the entire operation funding came from the descendants of those Swedish missionaries.
我今天可以跟你说，我们的那个戒毒农场所有的经费基本上都是由瑞典那80-90年前来的宣教士的子女在帮我们支付的。
Why are they willing to do that?
为什么他们愿意这么做呢？
Because Ruth's father died in that place when Japanese came.
因为当时抗战的时候,
they shed blood in that place.
他们真的是在这片土地上面撒下他们的鲜血。
They have root there.
他们的根扎在了那里。
I can also tell you the first time I went to the drug rehab farm almost 6-7 years ago, I went with that Swedish team.
我也可以跟你说,我是在六七年前,我第一次去到这个戒毒农场的时候,我是跟着这一对瑞典的弟兄姐妹一起去的。
And when we were up in Lijiang area, the whole team, about 10 Swedish people, some of them related to the missionaries' families.
我们当时去丽江那个小组团队里面有十多个人，他们可以说都是跟瑞典那几十年前的那些宣教士是有一定的联系的。So
we were up in this snow mountain, 玉龙雪山.
我们在玉龙雪山上面。And
there, the whole entire Swedish group spontaneously broke out singing "How Great Thou Art."
就在那雪山上面的时候，这一对瑞典的弟兄姐妹，他们就开始不由自主地唱起来《神多伟大》那首诗歌。
Praising God for His faithfulness.
他们开始赞美神在所有我们看到的帮助的群体当中，神是多么的忠心。
If you ever sing "How Great Thou Art" again, I want you to remember this song was originally written in Swedish.
如果我们有或者我们再去唱这首神你多伟大这首诗歌的时候，我想请大家记住，这首诗歌是瑞典人第一首写出来的。I
want you to remember this.
我也想大家记住,
the farm is not a new thing. The drug we have farm is not something that just happened.
这个戒毒农场不是一个新的事情，不是说它一下子就出来了。
It had root.
它是在云南这块土地上面扎了根的。
And that's why God is protecting this work.
这也是为什么神在这个事工上有他的保守。
I believe that God wants to use this farm to help this class of people, drug addicts.
我相信神是想利用我们的戒毒农场去帮那些有毒瘾的人的。
Through the power of the gospel to transform their lives.
透过福音的力量去改变他们的生命,
so that they will become light to their own people.
然后他们能够成为他们自己民族自己族人的光。
You know, drug addicts and or alcoholics, by definition, it really makes them homeless.
其实如果你是有毒瘾的，你是有酒瘾的，从本身的性质来看，很多时候他们都是无家可归的。
And in the course of an addict's life, because of the habit, he will lose all the relationship that he has.
因为这样一个成瘾的人生会让一个人失去掉所有他和人与人之间的关系。
And at the farm, we are helping them to rebuild this family.
在农场的这个地方，我们在帮他们如何去重新建立与人的关系。
Creating a new community, new family for them.
我们帮他们重新建立一个社群，重新建立起一个家的概念。
And by God's grace, they will be having a real home.
靠着神的恩典，他们会因此拥有真正的家。
And 2 years ago, the farm went through some really, really tough time.
2年前，我们的农场的确经历了一些很艰难的时期。
In all honesty, I thought it had to be closed down. It has to be shut down.
我甚至都有产生了想法，是说这个农场可能就
When all hope was lost, God breathed new life into the farm.
就在我觉得一切都撑不下去的时候，神把他的气息吹到了这个农场这里。
In the last year, we have seen the farm literally resurrected and just having a new life.
我可以说，在过去一年里面，我觉得我们的农场就像是复活了一样。
And God has provided funding to remodel the buildings.
神给了我们资金，让我们重新的去把我们的设施给刷新。
To bring in godly person to minister there.
就带来很多爱主的兄弟姐妹们在我们当中去工作。
And also have given us a vision to work towards self-sufficiency.
甚至还给了我们一个意向，让我们知道我们得要朝那个自给自足的目标去迈进。
And by God's grace, we really believe that the farm will not just be a temporal place.
靠着神的恩典，我也相信这个农场不是一个暂居的地方。
It can be the turning point for many of these guys to find their way to their eternal home.
我也相信这个农场会是一个这里有成瘾的弟兄姐妹的转折点，去寻找他们永远的家。
couple of years ago, I visited the farm once a month and spent about a week there.
几年前呢, 我是每个月会去一次这个农场, 每次待上一个礼拜。
And I love having a bonfire with the guys.
我很喜欢跟那里的弟兄们一起有个篝火。
When we have the fire going, we're more relaxed and we sing and we worship and we share.
因为在我们有篝火的时候, 我们就会有一个很轻松的范围, 我们会一起聊天, 我们会一起分享, 会一起唱歌, 会去赞美。
And one night after such a wonderful time,
就在某一个晚上, 我们整个结束之后,
a brother next to me said this to me.
我坐在我身边的那个弟兄就跟我说了这么的话。
He said, "Look, when I get to heaven, I want to be your neighbor."
他跟我说, "Look, 等我去到天堂的时候, 我还要当你的邻居。
I want to come over and have bonfire like this all the time.
我想要来到你的院子里面, 跟你继续的, 天天跟你有一个篝火的时光。
The Lord Jesus became homeless so that he can bring us home.
我们的主耶稣自己取了人的形象, 来到我们当中, 以一个无家可归的身份, 为的是带我们回到天家。
Some of you may feel this is not your home, right?
可能在座的有些人觉得我们这里并不是你的家。
Some of you feel, oh, I don't belong here. The food is different, the culture, everything.
你可能会觉得说来到了美国文化不一样，食品也不一样，这不是我的家。
But if you walk with the Lord Jesus,
但是如果你与主同行,
if you obey him,
如果你顺服他,
he will bring you home.
他会带你回家。
And this is the promise that he had for you.
这就是他给你的一个应许。
In John chapter 14,
在约翰福音的第14章,
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also.
你们心里不要忧愁，你们信神也当信我。在我父的家里有许多住处，若是没有，我就早已告诉你们了。我去原是为你们预备地方去。我若去为你们预备的地方，就必再来接你们到我那里去。我在哪里，叫你们也在哪里；我往哪里去，你们知道那条路，你们也知道。I
hope many of you can come to after lunch. We have a video about the farm, about a little bit more about ourselves. If you can make it, we would love to see you.
在午餐之后, 我们会在会议室会有更多的分享, 我们还有一个录像要给大家看的, 所以我也希望大家能够来到我们当中, 听我们的分享。
Thank you so much for having us.
谢谢你们, 让我们今天来到你们当中。
I just say one little thing.
我还想补充一点。
9 years ago when we left US and moved to China,
9年前我们离开美国搬到中国去。
It was right here that we knelt down and your church prayed for us.
我们是在这个教会这里，我们跪下来，大家为我们祷告。
Thank you.
谢谢大家。